إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، verily all praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise him and we seek his forgiveness and we ask him for his mercy. And we testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and final messenger. And as to what follows, today Shaykh Muhammad Safwat Nuruddin shall be discussing with us a few important points that I will begin by discussing with you the Jumu'ah khutbah that he gave in the masjid in the city of Denton. I think I pronounced it right. For this is where he gave Salatul Jumu'ah, and we were there, alhamdulillah, writing down the translation for the brothers there, and therefore also for you, insha'Allah. So the Shaykh has asked me first to begin by narrating to you what he has discussed with them in Salatul Jumu'ah, so that you will not miss out on the khair, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we begin by saying that the Shaykh Hafidhahullah began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending peace and blessings upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. And by stating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each and every one of us with the greatest blessing that he can bestow upon a human being while he is on the face of the earth. And this blessing is the blessing of al-Islam, the blessing of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Knowing that the Qur'an is the truth, knowing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger, who was sent to be an example of how the Qur'an is to be implemented and taught and adhered to. The Shaykh began by reciting the verse, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. The first verse to be brought down upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite, read in the name of your Lord who has created. In this ayah is great wisdom and great mercy from Allah and great guidance if we are to focus in on it. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to search for the truth. Search for that which is right. Learn the truth and then follow it. Therefore, you as a Muslim know what the truth is. You know who Allah is, while the other people do not. The Jews have been misguided. They think of Allah as a person who oppresses, Allah who is not complete in their eyes. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَ. The Jews, as Allah says in the Quran, they say that Allah's hand is withheld back, meaning that he does not give from his mercy to them. His hand is not with them. يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَ. This is what the Jews say. Also the Jews say, قَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ اللَّهُ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ. Surely we are the ones who are rich while Allah is poor. The words of the Jews, misguided, not even knowing Allah, thinking of Allah as an oppressor and one who just punishes, who has no mercy and compassion. While on the other hand, we as Muslims know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete of and full of perfection, without any imperfection. For he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who sustains us, the one who has created us. Therefore, he knows what is best for his creation. The Christians, al-Nasara, have been also misguided. They think of their God as one who lived inside the womb of a woman for 9 months. Their God is one that was given birth to, who had to be breastfed. His diapers had to be changed. This is their God. But we as Muslims know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains us all and is in no need to be sustained. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control of all that exists. Therefore, after we know this, it becomes important for us now to understand that our Creator has sent us laws. And He knows what is best for us, for He is the one who has created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore the Shaykh asks and says, after knowing this, how can you withhold this, restrict this back from other people? From your wife, from your son, from your daughter, from your sister, from your husband. How can you withhold this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you not show your appreciation and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by teaching your family and yourself and those whom you meet the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Therefore we must live a clean and halal life. Meaning that when we understand this and grasp this, we know that we do not drink al-khamr. And we do not buy it or sell it. Because we know that we are in no need of this haram money, because Allah sustains us. We don't buy or sell al-khinzir, swine, because we know that we are in no need of this money, for Allah sustains us. We are in no need of taking or giving riba, usury, interest, for we know that we are in no need of this, for Allah sustains us. Knowing this tawheed, this aqeedah, and this is what shall bring us to the Jannah, what shall bring us to the paradise. The Shaykh says, this aqeedah guides us to that which is best, iman, guides us to that which is best naturally. If you are a believer, you will do what is good, because it's good. And you will stay away from the evil because it is evil. And this shall be also your action in the sunnah. You will do the sunnah because it's sunnah. And you will stay away from the evil because it is evil. The Shaykh emphasized this, hafidhahullah, by explaining to us two of the important things that each and every Muslim must know and understand. Islam and Iman. What is Islam? What does Allah ask you? 5 things. To say La ilaha illallah, to bear witness, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. When you know that there is La ilaha illallah, this means that you are free from anything that will lead you to bring another partner with Allah. That your fear is for Allah. That your reliance is to Allah. That your love is wholly for Allah. That your slaughtering is for Allah. That your prayer is for Allah. That your ordering good is for Allah. That your forbidding evil is for Allah. Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second half of this shahada. In knowing this, you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent specifically for you individually as the one to mold yourself like. The one that you mold yourself to. As if you were a statue, he is the example that you want to become. You want to be like him, perfectly like him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In his statements, in his actions, in his worship, in his dealings, in his character, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How you trade, how you perform your business, how you deal with your family, how you are at home, how you are in the masjid. All of this molded after the actions of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, in knowing La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, it causes your whole existence to be for Allah. Meaning your eye, sees only what is halal. Your ear listens to only what is halal. Your tongue speaks only good and truth. Your feet carry you only to righteous deeds, not the opposite. This is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Second, as-salah. It is your link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your cable, your lifeline to Allah. Whenever you are in His need, you call unto Him. Whenever you praise Him, He is there. Whenever you ask Him, He is there. As-salah. To pray and establish this pillar of al-Islam. Also, al-zakah. Allah asking you, if you are in strength, to help the weak. If you are wealthy, to help the poor. Give from your wealth that which will purify the rest of your wealth and purify you and your life. Zakah. The alms giving, the 2.5% on your total retained earnings after a year. Ramadan, which is soon upon us. Fasting. Let our fasting, as the Sheikh had pointed out, be fasting for wholly for Allah. Meaning that when you are fasting, it's not just from food and drink, but it's also from speaking evil, from looking at evil, from listening to evil, from acting in a bad manner, in a lewd manner. Being fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of its shades and meanings. Also al-hajj, to perform the pilgrimage if Allah has given you the ability to leave off everything once you have met the condition that it is time. As soon as you have met the condition, you are to go to the hajj, into the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform the pilgrimage and to act in the same manner that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acted in on his journey. Then the Shaykh, hafidhahullah, turned his attention to al-Iman. That was Islam. But what is Iman? Iman is six things. To believe in Allah. First, what does it mean to believe in Allah? That your whole life, your whole worship, your whole existence is based on worshipping Allah. Whether it's going to work or to school, raising a family, everything that you do, some way or another is linked in belief to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You slaughter for Allah. You only take an oath by Allah's name. You fast for Allah. You pray to only Allah. You call out only to Allah. For Allah is the only one who has power and authority and who can grant you what you wish. Second, the angels. Believe in the angels. They are beings that are created from light, who never disobey Allah. What He orders them, they carry out, and never act from their own will or desire. Some of them have been named and some have not. Some have been given jobs and duties described to us, and some have been not. For there is an angel who controls the clouds, an angel who controls the mountains, an angel who comes to the womb. All of these are things that we must believe and submit in, even if we do not see it with our own eyes. Also, angels that take account of your deeds as you are sitting here. Angels who are looking at us and writing down in our script, in our life, what we have done. Number three, al-kutub, to believe in the books. Any book that was sent from Allah to mankind for guidance, you must believe in it. Those books that were named and that are known to us and those that were not. And it must be made clear that every book sent by Allah except the Quran has been transformed, disfigured, tarnished by the hands of mankind except the Quran. For the Qur'an was the only book that Allah Himself vowed to protect. إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَى وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Surely we have brought down and revealed the Qur'an, this remembrance to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we shall be its protectors. And what Allah has vowed protection, none shall tarnish it. Also, number four, the belief in the prophets of Allah, Al-Anbiya wal-Rusul. We believe in them, those that were named and those that were not named. For there are prophets and messengers that were not named in the Qur'an. So we believe in Adam and Nuh and Idris and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and Musa and Isa and the finality Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we do not distinguish between them. All of them were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring mankind to the same thing, not to take partners with Allah and to be in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, to think of the day and believe in the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, the day when each and every one of us, from the beginning of Adam till the end of time, shall stand in front of Allah and be questioned about the great and the small, the good and the bad, the evil and the good. And that there will be two destinations, the fire or the Jannah. One of these two, the fire is for those who disobeyed and disbelieved. And the Jannah is for those who believed in Allah, established His rights, followed His regulations. Finally, to believe in al-qada wal-qadr, to believe in the preordainment, predestination that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and decided. Therefore, the one who is wealthy because Allah wished and willed it so. And the one who is not, who may be in poverty, is in this situation with Allah's knowledge and with Allah's will. So we do not distinguish between the good of Qadr and the bad of Qadr. All of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His knowledge and with His will and power over it. The Shaykh completed that lecture, that khutbah Jumu'ah, by saying, let us now live with the honor of Islam. For Islam is honor. Do not show weakness, do not have sorrow, even if you pass through tough times. Na'ish bi'izzah, live with honor and strength, yet humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His servants. And we must establish the fear of Allah. Fear Allah. Fear Allah in the Qur'an. Fear Allah in the Sunnah. Fear Allah by establishing ties of kingship. Fear Allah by being dutiful to our parents. Fear Allah by establishing His hudud. All of these things are things that the Shaykh reminded us with. Now we let him continue, insha'Allah, with his lecture, فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا.
أيها الإخوة الأحباب الكرام, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. تكملة لهذه الكلمة التي أردت أن تلقى على مسامعكم مباشرة تخفيفا من أمر أن يعاد الكلام بالعربية ثم يترجم مرة أخرى باللغة الإنجليزية, أردت ذلك الأمر الذي سمعتموه, وهو في مسألة كلية في حياة المسلم أعقب عليها بتعقيب يسير, أن رب العزة سبحانه وتعالى لما أنزل اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق, إنما أراد أن يلفت الأنظار إلى أن الذي خلق الشمس التي لا تزال منذ بدء الخلق تمد الناس بضوئها ولم تعجز عن ذلك, ولم تصر الشمس عجوزا, هو الذي أنزل القرآن. أن الذي خلق الهواء الذي نستنشقه ولم يعي ذلك الهواء بإيفاء حاجات الناس في استنشاقهم, هو الذي أنزل القرآن. وأن الذي خلق الأرض وخلق الماء وخلق ذلك كله, هو الذي أنزل القرآن. انظر إلى الخلق في قدمه وإلى القرآن وقد نزل منذ 14 قرنا. فالخلق القديم خلق الله, والقرآن النازل قرآن الله. أفالشمس القديمة والهواء القديم والماء القديم يكفي الناس، والقرآن لا يكفي الناس، ذلك رد كاف نرد به على الملحدين والعلمانيين والسفهاء والجاهلين، لنقول أن الذي حفظ القرآن حفظه ليبقى للناس يعملون به إلى أن تقوم الساعة.
The Sheikh introduced his topic by saying now, as a form of completion and dotting the I's, he said it obviously in Arabic, so it wasn't I's, it was actually different letters. But now, in dotting these points and focusing on each of these points, the Sheikh begins with the ayah, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Recite in the name of your Lord who has created. Focus on this word, who has created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the sun, الشمس. Knowing that this sun, bringing its rays down to the earth for the millions of years that it was in existence, throughout history, human history and before it, who has created the air that you breathe in the mixture that is specific for your body and organs, who has created the water that replenishes you and sustains you. The same creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the same one who brought down the Qur'an, who descended the Qur'an, revealed the Qur'an. The one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, was created all of this. The sun, the stars, the earth, all that you see, with its direct purpose. While the Qur'an has only been revealed for 1,400 years, these things have been in existence many times before this. Would not the Creator who has created all this know what is best for His creation only for these last 1,400 years? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Creator. So therefore, He knows what's best for His creation. For He knew what is best for you with the sun. What is best for you in the air? What is best for you in the water that you drink? Would He not know what is best for you in your life and how you deal and live with people? Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وبعد أن درنا حول هذه الآية فإنني أختار لكم آية أخرى من الآيات الجامعة. فالآية الأولى كانت من سورة العلق، والآية الثانية من سورة الزمر في قوله تعالى: ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن الله قل أفرأيتم ما تدعون من دون الله إن أرادني الله بضر هل هن كاشفات ضره أو أرادني برحمة هل هن ممسكات رحمته قل حسبي الله عليه يتوكل المتوكلون. هذه الآية الكريمة ندخل إليها لفهمها بمدخل لطيف، فنقول الله خلق آدم بيديه وعلمه الأسماء كلها وأسكنه الجنة ليتعلم درسا، ذلك الدرس هو إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير. فبعد أن تعلم آدم عداوة الشيطان أهبط إلى الأرض موحدا يعلم أبنائه التوحيد، لكننا نفاجأ بعد 10 قرون أن أبناء آدم يعبدون الأصنام في زمان نوح، فأهلك الله المشركين بالطوفان وأبقى الموحدين، أبقى الموحدين. ثم إذا بنا نرى من أبناء الموحدين في زمان هود من يعبدون الأصنام، فأهلك الله عز وجل المشركين وأبقى الموحدين. فإذا في زمان صالح من أبنائهم من يعبدون الأصنام، فأهلك الله المشركين وأبقى الموحدين، فإذا من أجيالهم من يعبدون الأصنام. عندئذ أسأل سؤالين: هل يؤمن الشرك على أبناء الموحدين؟ الجواب: لا، لا يؤمن عليهم، فينبغي أن نحذر من الشرك. والسؤال الثاني: وأنتم أخبر الأمم به، هل التقدم العلمي يمنع من الوقوع في الشرك وأنتم في أمة تزعم أنها أرقى الأمم في التقدم العلمي وهم في الشرك والكفر سادرون وداخلون؟ يبقى السؤال: عندئذ من الذي علم هؤلاء الشرك وهم أبناء الموحدين؟
The Sheikh حفظه الله continued now by saying, let me give you another verse from the Quran. The first verse was from Surah Al-Alaq. This verse is from Surah Az-Zumur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means when you ask them, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ, and when you ask them, who has created the skies and the earth? When you ask the disbelievers, they shall surely say, Allah. Tell them and ask them, if one was to give me goodness, who would hold it back from me from Allah? And ask them, if one was to put evil upon me, who would hold it back from me but Allah? And they would not answer. Therefore you say, Hasbi Allah. I put my reliance and my account in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I account it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this verse, the Sheikh says, let us look at the story of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam with his own hand and admitted him into the Jannah and promised him all that he wished, and also told him that be careful of the shaitan. The shaitan is your enemy. As Allah says in the Quran, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوَّا. The shaitan is your enemy. Therefore be careful and know that he is your enemy. But Adam did not realize this until he had fallen into the sin. Therefore once he realized that the shaitan was an enemy, Allah brought him down to the earth. Brought Adam down to the earth and told him, now teach your children that this shaitan is an enemy and not to take him as a friend or a protector or a god. So they lived for 10 generations, as is narrated in Bukhari. For 10 generations, everyone, the children of Adam, lived worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no shirk, with no transgression or taking partners with Allah. Then when at the time of Nuh, they began to worship idols. And these are the children of whom? Adam. So Allah sent the flood, extinguished the life of all of those who disbelieved, except Nuh and his followers. Therefore all that remained on the face of the earth were what? True believers. After them, what happened? From the children of Nuh, from the children of these true believers who were saved by Allah, they again began to fall into shirk. Then Allah took them. Salih came, an-Nabi, the Prophet Salih. He ordered them to do what is good and to forbid what is evil. The disobedient transgressed. Allah saved the believers and destroyed the disbelievers. And out of the lineage of Salih, again from his own sons and his own people, they disobeyed Allah and began to commit shirk. The Sheikh now asks us two questions. after we have realized this and have read this and understood this, you ask yourself two questions. One, can you say that your children will be free from shirk in the future if you are established? Look at these, the lineages of prophets, those who knew Allah, yet their children fell into these sins and their lineage. This is the first question. The second question is, and this is something specific for those of us who live in these countries with these technological expanses. The second question the Sheikh asks, this scientific knowledge that is being discovered every day and at every minute, can this protect a person in understanding it from shirk? And the question again will return to you and say, therefore, after understanding these two questions about the technology and the sciences, seeing what is around us, and knowing that our children may fall into shirk, you ask yourself, therefore, therefore you must ask yourself, what was the reason after all of this that caused these people to fall into shirk? What is the reason that people have fallen into this disbelief?
إذا كانت تلك الأمم قد تعلمت التوحيد من الأنبياء فمن الذي علمهم الشرك؟ لا شك أنه الشيطان الذي أمروا أن يتخذوه عدوا فعصوا ذلك ولم يتخذوه عدوا فأوقعهم في الشرك. لكن السؤال الثاني، لماذا اختار الشيطان الشرك ذنبا يوقع فيه بني آدم؟ لماذا اختاره؟ الجواب، لأنه يحقق هدفه، إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير، يحقق لهم هله هذا الهدف أن يجعلهم في جهنم. ما هي صفات الشرك التي تجعله ذنبا يصلح لإدخال الناس في جهنم حتى لم يتخذ الشيطان ذنبا مشتركا يوقع الأمم فيه إلا الشرك؟ الجواب، إنها صفات ثلاث انتبهوا لها جيدا وعوها جيدا. الصفة الأولى أن الشرك ذنب لا يغفر، لقوله تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. الصفة الثانية أن صاحب الشرك لا يستغفر، يقع فيه ظانا أنه يفعل الطاعات. لو دخلتم الكنائس وأظنكم دخلتموها وأنا لا أعرفها، دخلتموها ورأيتموهم يتجهون إلى صورة العذراء يخاطبونها يا أم النور، يطلبون منها، يتجهون إلى الصورة التي يزعمون أنها صورة المسيح فيسألونه يدعونه، هذا هو الشرك. فإن جئت تنهى أحدا منهم عن ذلك رآك تنهاه عن الخير كله. ولذا فإن رب العزة قص عن المشركين فقال أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب. وانطلق الملأ منهم أن امشوا واصبروا على آلهتكم إن هذا لشيء يراد. ما سمعنا بهذا في الملة الآخرة إن هذا إلا اختلاق. أما الصفة الثالثة للشرك فأنه يحبط ثواب كل الأعمال، لقوله تعالى لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك، ولقوله تعالى وقدمنا الى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا. فهذه الصفات الثلاث هي التي جعلت الشيطان يختار الشرك ليوقع فيه الامم ليكونوا من اصحاب السعير.
الشيخ حفظه الله continues and says, these lineages whose teachers were messengers and prophets from Allah fell into shirk. Therefore the point comes, who was their teacher that we have asked before? It had to be the shaitan. But now a question comes, why did the shaitan choose shirk as the sin to try to make you fall into? Of all the things you could do wrong, why shirk? First, the Sheikh says, the main reason is because he wishes to bring as many people with him into the fire. But there are three main reasons other than this, why the shaitan chose shirk itself. أولاً, the first is because shirk is not forgiven by Allah. So therefore, when you do the shirk, you are not forgiven until you leave it. So it's a sin that's eternal. So he's got you in the major one. The second reason, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in proof of the first one, the Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah forgives all sins, except that you take partners with him, and forgives all other types of sins. The second reason the shaitan chose shirk is that the person who commits shirk does not know he is doing wrong, and therefore does not repent. The Sheikh asks us a question and says, many of you may have entered churches before in your life, and you have seen with your own eyes men and women and children stand in front of a picture of what they think or have been taught is the picture of their God, Isa, when in fact it is not. And you see them turn to them and call to them and make dua to these pictures and images and the cross and the rosary. And if you come to tell them stop, it to them appears that you are ordering them to leave off all that is good, because they see it as what is good, when in fact it is the shirk. And the third reason that the shaitan chose shirk especially is because when a person commits shirk, all of the previous good deeds are destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلَكَ. If you commit shirk, your deeds shall be lessened and taken away from you. So these are the three reasons. Because the shaitan knows that shirk is not forgivable by Allah, and the shaitan knows that the person who falls into shirk may never come out of it, because he perceives that his shirk, his taking partners with Allah, is what is righteous. And because once a person commits shirk, his good deeds are taken away and left asunder.
وحتى ندع وقتا لأسئلتكم, فإنني أختم كلمتي بأن أبين ما هو الشرك الذي دخل على سائر الأمم لنحذره. هو تعظيم الموتى برفع قبورهم وتصوير صورهم ودعائها من دون الله, دعائها سؤالها من دون الله, يطلبون منها ما لا يطلب إلا من الله. هذا هو الشرك. لذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في وصيته لابن عباس, إذا سألت فاسأل الله, وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله, واعلم ان الامة لو اجتمعت على ان ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك الا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، وان اجتمعوا على ان يضروك بشيء لم يضروك الا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. رفعت الاقلام وطويت الصحف، لذلك فلا ندعو إلا الله، هذا هو التوحيد، ندعو الله وحده ولا نشرك به أحدا. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
The Sheikh concludes saying, so that we leave ample time for your questions, knowing that many of the questions have remained unanswered, especially in this English section. He says we conclude by saying, so we live now our life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will answer you one last question before he leaves. He says, what is the major type of shirk that began to transgress and to grow into the other types of shirk? The first and major type of shirk that was found at the time of Nuh and those who have come after him was that they took their dead as people to call unto, raising their graves, elevating them, asking the graves itself, coming to the graves and making the dua, the supplication to the people in the grave, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he advised Abdullah ibn Abbas, he told him, if you ask, ask Allah. And if you seek reliance or help, seek it from Allah. And know that if the whole nation came to help you in a way that Allah had not written for you, they will not be able to benefit you. And if the whole ummah or a nation came to harm you in a way that was not written for you, it would not harm you. The pens are raised and the scrolls are rolled. Meaning Allah has decided. What Allah has said shall happen. Therefore we worship Allah by asking only Him, seeking reliance only in Him, worshipping only Him, being inclined only to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we leave time for your questions inshaAllah. Is this a question? Allahu Akbar. Inshallah. The first question. Can we give sadaqah in a fundraising where we know that people will know that we are giving the sadaqah?
رب العزة سبحانه وتعالى يقول وإن تبدوا الصدقات فنعماه وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم. فإعطاء الصدقة إظهارها لحث الناس على الصدقة، رب العزة يمتدحها، نعم ما هي، يعني هذا خير، هذا خير. وإن تخفوها وتعطوها الفقراء، يعني إذا خفتم على أنفسكم الرياء وأعطيتموها سرا للفقراء فهو خير لكم، أحمى أحفظ لصدوركم من الرياء. فصدقة العلن، صدقة العلن لتشجيع الناس لك ثوابها وثواب من عمل بها، وصدقة السر محفوظة الأجر.
The Sheikh answered this question and the other questions that were written on the sheet without knowing the question, alhamdulillah, by saying that when a person gives the sadaqah openly, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if in tubdu, if you show people that you are given sadaqah, فَنِعِمَّهِ, then this is a good thing, because other people may become motivated and give in the same way. But if you hide your sadaqah and give it directly to the poor person without anyone seeing you, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ, this is better for you. because there would be no showing off and no way of another person knowing. So therefore you have sealed the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you if your intention was pure. If a brother is working with an independent auditing firm and he is asked to do an audit to a bank, is this permissible?
واحد بيشتغل في شركة منفردة ما لها دخل بالبنوك لكن الشركة محاسبين لو الشركة طلبت منه يعمل محاسبة لبنك معين يجوز له ذلك
يعني شركة محاسبة
نعم
شركة محاسبة ويعمل محاسبة لل...
نعم والشركة الشركة تطلب انه يعمل محاسبة للبنك المعين هذا لكن هذا مش العادي يعني
نعم يعني ان غلب على امره انه يعمل ان هذه الشركة اعمالها كلها بعيدة عن الربا ثم جاء القليل منها في الربا ان استطاع ان يتخلص منه فهذا خير فان لم يستطع.
A question from the sister: is the three things that are not forgivable, is the three things, the not forgivable, never come out of it, all previous good deeds taken away, okay, the three things that we mentioned that are not forgivable, if you do them, are all of your previous good deeds taken away, or whether it's big shirk or small shirk, or is it just for the major shirk?
بالنسبة للثلاث نقاط عن الشيطان لماذا اختار هل إحباط العمل هذا شرك أكبر ولا أصغر ولا شرك أكبر فقط يعني هل يدخل فيه الشرك الأكبر
نقصد بذلك الشرك الذي يحبط العمل هو شرك الدعاء شرك الطلب والمسألة وهذا هو الشرك الأكبر هذا هو الشرك الأكبر بخلاف شرك الرياء الشرك الأصغر أو شرك الحلف بغير الله فهذا شرك أصغر لكن المقصود شرك الدعاء شرك الطلب شرك المسألة أن يسأل غير الله فهذا يحبط سائر العمل والله أعلم.
The sheikh answers by saying the shirk that is meant is the shirk of dua, the shirk of action, of worshipping in this way, meaning a shirk al-akbar, the major form of shirk, not the minor shirk which is riyah, showing off or as such. So this is to be understood. The second part of the question is, what is the dua against the little shirk?
ما هو الدعاء الدعاء اللي يحمينا من الشرك ما كان
الدعاء الذي ذكره الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام للاستغفار من الشرك اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك شيئا أعلمه وأستغفرك لما لا أعلمه.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask Allah by saying, O Allah, I seek refuge and forgiveness in committing shirk that I may know that I've committed, or in shirk that is hidden from me that I may not know that I had committed. So this was the dua that one is to make. A question says, can we pray salah with the shoes on?
Salah bil hiza manhu.
إذا كان الحذاء طاهرا ولم يتشرب شيئا من النجاسات جازت الصلاة فيه والله.
The sheikh says as long as the shoe is clean and it is not in a state of impurity the salah is accepted. Now I ask the sheikh an increasing question to the question that was just asked. What if the person had not, because this is a question that is always asked, what if the person had not made wudu before he put the shoe on?
لو الواحد ما كان في حال وضوء قبل لبس الحذاء.
الوضوء يؤذن في المسح على الخف أو على الحذاء أو على الجورب إذا كان لبس ذلك على وضوء ويمسح يوما بليلة للمقيم وثلاثة أيام بلياليها للمسافر.
أسأل لو الواحد لبس الحذاء على غير طهر ثم خلع وتوضأ لبس الحذاء أن يصلي في أو ما في تغير عشان دائما الإخوة يصلي.
نعم ما فيش ما في تغير.
As for putting on the shoe, when one is not in a state of wudu, taking it off and putting it on again, can a person pray? The answer is yes. The Sheikh also points out the hukm of wiping over your shoes and socks, that once you put it on, you had first have to have wudu before you put on your shoe or your sock. Then once you have put it on, you can make wudu by wiping over them. And this, if you are living in this, if you are in the city that you live in, you may do this for one day, meaning the five daily prayers. But if you are in a state of travel and you are wearing the shoe or the khuf and you are the sock and you have not taken it off, you may remain for 3 days. I drive a taxi, and if my passenger told me to stop by a beer store and buy a beer on his way home, how do I take his fare? What should I do?
لو واحد يسوق التاكس هو يقول احيانا اللي بيركب معاه بيقول له خدني المحل الخمرة اشتري الخمر ووصلني البيت هل يجوز له ذلك او ينزله او ايش يفعل
يعني ما طالما انك مستطيع ان تمتنع لا تعاقب على امتناعك عن التعاون على الاسم والعدوان فامتنع اما اذا كنت مجبرا على ذلك مجبرا على هذا فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يرفع عنك الإثم لكن لا تتعاون على الإثم والعدوان أبدا طالما أنك مستطيع لذلك.
The Sheikh answers by saying, a person is not to help another human being or Muslim or another human being in general to commit a sin. So therefore, if he has the ability to stop the person or not take him, he has the choice before the matter, then he may do so. But if the person is forced and he may lose his job or something like this, if he does not do it, then this should be done, but it should not be a regular habit. And the Sheikh said, may Allah raise this hardship from this person.
Ameen.
No. Is the jilbab overcoat required for women? And if so, what is the dalil evidences for this so that we may be convinced and others?
ما دليل أن الجلباب واجب للمرأة كي يقتنع
رب العزة سبحانه وتعالى قال وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب فالمرأة لا تخرج من بيتها إلا إذا لبست الحجاب وهو سبحانه وتعالى يقول وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن والأساور موضع الزينة والقرط موضع الزينة والأنف موضع الزينة والفم موضع الزينة فلا يبدين زينتهن فمطلوب من المرأة أن تخفي كل تلك الزينة التي تتزين بها
لكن كلمة الجلباب نفسها هذا وارد في شيء
نعم الجلباب وارد لكن احنا نشرح معنى الجلباب
The Sheikh explaining what the word jilbab means so that you may understand its importance is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, do not speak to them unless they are behind hijab. Therefore, if the woman exits her house, she must be in a state of hijab. What is this hijab? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders in Surah An-Nur by saying that they should cover themselves with a garment that hangs from on top and comes down. That comes down. يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِن مِّن جَلَابِيبِهِن That comes down and covers to their bosom. Covering the ear and the earlobes and the chin and all of this must be covered with the jilbab and with the hijab. For this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instituted with hijab and therefore it is a must for the Muslim woman to conform with this. For this is what is pure for her and for the society and pleasing to her Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you do anything for yourself and for Allah at the same time?
هل ممكن تفعل شيء لنفسك ولله في نفس الوقت. يعني
العبد إذا قصد أن يعف نفسه عن الحرام بأكل الحلال مأجور، يأكل. إذا قصد أن يستر نفسه عن الحرام فيلبس الحلال فهذا مأجور، فالعبد يؤجر على قصد الحلال وترك الحرام وإن كان في ذلك منفعته وحاجة بدنه.
The Sheikh answers by saying, a slave of Allah, a servant of Allah, is rewarded when he is doing something that will push him away from doing evil. So if you are doing something for yourself that's going to protect you from the evil, although it's for yourself, not wholly for Allah, in so doing you will also be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it's pushing you away. Just like when a person is seeking food, he has to go to work. He's doing this to sustain himself, yet at the same time working in such a manner will push him away from other evils and falling into sin. We will take one more question. Do all the people, this is a question from the sisters, do all the people who go to heaven see Allah?
وكل من دخل الجنة يرى الله سبحانه وتعالى.
كل من دخل الجنة يرى الله عز وجل، وهذا من أعلى النعيم، أعلى نعيم الجنة النظر إلى وجه الله عز وجل.
The Sheikh answers by saying, حفظه الله, all who enter the Jannah shall see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow upon His chosen servants who shall be admitted to the Jannah. May Allah make us and you from them. We conclude here and say, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.